happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup, and continuing Happy Pride this month, but not everything is happy.
No, we start with some news from Baltimore that we heard this morning on Wednesday, an arson fire in Baltimore. Somebody torched a pride flag on a house, setting three houses ablaze and sending three people to the hospital, two in critical condition. Horrific.
And, of course, you've probably heard about the 31 anti-LGBTQ white nationalists from 12 states who, thankfully, were thwarted in their attempt to create a riot at an Idaho Pride March.
And right-wing thugs from the Proud Boys, another group, terrorized kids at a drag queen story hour at a California library.
Very sweet to the kids who they claim to be protecting. And another new outrage from Florida Governor DeSantis as his appearance in New York was vigorously protested.
Including by us.
Yeah.
But Florida LGBTQ leader Nadine Smith, one of the Time 100, we're going to show you a video. She talks about the damage of another Time 100 person, Ron DeSantis, is doing to Florida and wants to do to the nation, one of the leading candidates for president.
President Biden issued an LGBTQ executive order this week, and Vice President Harris marched in the Capitol Pride event.
A Texas judge put a temporary stop to investigations of families of trans kids.
Not the first one. That's very good and very heartwarming news. The number of young people identifying as transgender has doubled since 2017.
And people are freaking out.
Yes, they are.
California Congressmember Ted Lieu tells the House what Jesus said about homosexuality. We will show you.
Yes, we will. New Yorkers marched for justice for Julio Ramirez, the young man we've been telling you about who seems to have been murdered and robbed after leaving a gay bar with strangers.
We mourn the loss of artist Hunter Reynolds and three trans leaders from Chicago.
Sad. The Tony Awards are LGBT and Q as never before.
An actor, Rebel Wilson, has found her Disney princess.
Well, we start, really want to tell us about it, but whatever.
We start off in Baltimore. We're taping on Wednesday, and this morning at 4 a.m., somebody, I would call them a terrorist, set fire to a pride flag outside a house on East 31st Street. The flames spread to the neighboring homes. Three people were taken to the hospital, two in critical condition, a 30-year-old woman and a 57-year-old man, and a 74-year-old man is in serious condition. Three houses went up in flames. It's being invested as arson, as a hate crime. But folks, this targeting of us, and we've told you again and again, it is relentless on Fox News. It is relentless from the Republican Party. They have identified us as the enemy, as a threat to children, and people are taking the law into their own hands and doing this kind of vigilante stuff, and there are horrible consequences.
Terrible. And this is a familiar cycle. We make progress. There is a backlash. What's different, I think, this time is the level of violence visited upon us as a backlash. Although, you know, abortion doctors have been murdered and abortion clinics burned down, too, over the years. There is this seeming pull and push as society tries slowly, stumblingly to move forward. But man, it is really ugly out there right now. And we're going to tell you a number of stories about things that are happening.
Well, let's go to Idaho.
Sure.
Galene.
Coeur d'Alene.
Coeur d'Alene. This has made lots of national news from the time it happened. 31 white nationalists were arrested on their way to violently disrupt a pride event. Now, this is a town, Coeur d'Alene, of about 50,000 people. Someone saw them all piling into a U-Haul dressed like this with masks and, you know, putting on sort of military gear and tipped off the police. So they were pulled over. They're all from the Patriot Front. Their leader, Tom Russo, among those arrested, he had a military style plan to disrupt. Only one was from Idaho. The others were from 12 other states, you know, Arkansas, Colorado, it goes on and on and on. Police seized a smoke grenade and riot gear from the truck. So kudos to that citizen who spotted these masked men donning shields like an army and piling into a truck in a hotel parking lot.
Now, there are a couple of interesting things about this. First of all, can we go back to the first picture? When I saw this picture of these guys in their khakis and their navy shirts and their beige hats, I thought, oh, my God, they look just like the crowd from Charlottesville. Well, in fact, this is a break off of the crowd from Charlottesville. The young guy who started it was inspired by Charlottesville. And this is a uniform, a sort of preppy uniform that they have very deliberately adopted to symbolize white supremacy.
And well, that's the thing. Their targets are black people or you know, people Jews. Of color in general. They engage in vandalism, flash demos. They're anti-Semitic. They're neo-Nazis. That's who's in these groups.
And now they did have a very, very specific plan of how to get together and how to operate in this space in the park at the Pride event, and then disengage and move to another part of town. Coeur d'Alene, you may remember, was the home of the Aryan Nation for many years, but things have changed there. And the mayor came out and made a very strong statement about how Coeur d'Alene welcomes everybody and is a diverse place now. But there was also a lot of talk about, well, they didn't have guns and they haven't found guns. But there, I did see a news report that was very interesting and showed footage of a number of individuals, maybe half a dozen to a dozen, who were in full camo military gear with AK-47s or whatever they are, the deadly weapons, patrolling the park, going around among the Pride celebrants before this group showed up, clearly setting the stage for a much more violent confrontation.
So if there'd been a riot, they could start shooting and say, oh, well, they were attacking us. Well,
exactly.
One of the Patriot Front guys, Michael Boyce, 27, of Springville, Utah, was told by his mother, get out of the house. If you're not going to quit this group, get out of the house. He was living at home. Apparently, she says he has struggled to fill a void in his life since his father left the family and came out as gay. But she hopes by speaking out, it will hurt his standing in the Patriot Front and get him to leave. And then he responds, oh, we were just there because they're grooming kids. So, I mean, do they really believe this stuff? I mean, folks, these groups are grooming you for fascism.
Do they believe this stuff? This started with a guy going into the pizza parlor in D.C. in the basement with an AK-47 to go after the people he'd been told Hillary Clinton was raping children.
This raises the issue of...
Yes, they believe this stuff.
This raises the issue of safety at Pride events. And of course, you know, we all have to be on our guard. Wayne Besson wrote an article that I'll link to in the email that we must never let these threats cancel Pride, that we should organize for our safety, but we should fight back if a fight breaks out and get them on the run. And if you can't, you know, physically fight yourself, film what's happening from these people. I mean, get them on film so that they can be identified. But we you know, we can't be passive.
Well, we can't be passive, but, you know, hand-to-hand combat with people with AK-47s is not a great idea.
No.
Let's put our safety and the safety of those around us first, and be careful in these situations. But we're hearing stories from all over the country of flags being torn down, attacks. In California, of all places, an attack on a drag queen story hour.
At the San Lorenzo Library, these thugs from Proud Boys, in this case, come in, start shouting homophobic and transphobic slurs, calling the drag queen a pedophile and it. The thugs wore AK-47 t-shirts, terrorized the children. This is days after 19 children were just killed by an AR-15 and two teachers there in Uvalde. It freaked out the kids. There were no arrests. A hate crime investigation is underway by the sheriff's office of Alameda.
But we're rushing to protect those Supreme Court justices who have peaceful demonstrators show up at their houses. Oh, my heavens. How could anyone do that? Blah, 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 blah.
They always change the subject when they're asked about this to, you know, whatever Black Lives Matter does or et cetera. Well, and that, of course, a lot of that is from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. And now he wants to call Child Protective Services on parents who expose their children to drag queens. I mean, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race, anyone? And he wants to have the children taken away from parents who expose their children to drag shows.
I think he got this idea from Greg Abbott in Texas, who wants to take children away from parents who support their trans kids.
How about stopping parents from exposing their children to violent, Trump rallies and DeSantis hate rallies or anti-LGBTQ churches, for that matter?
Or white supremacist terrorists who are invading their spaces.
Or watching Fox News. Well, so anyway, DeSantis came to a right-wing Jewish group that is really a pro-Trump group, had a conference that was canceled at a Jewish center and went to the Chelsea Piers down the block from us.
Here in New York, DeSantis.
Right here in New York City. And so there was a substantial demonstration at 8 a.m. There they are, folks from Rise and Resist and other groups.
More substantial.
A host of politicians showed up. There's Carolyn Maloney, Congresswoman in the white, State Senator Brad Holman in the blue shirt, Alan Roscoff there, Anna Maria Archia there as well. A lot of people showed up for this to make themselves known. And we also spoke to one of the demonstrators who just showed up, who says why he demonstrated, Sam Schultz.
So my name is Sam. I'm non-binary, and I use they/them pronouns. And I was a member of Chelsea Piers Fitness until this weekend when they decided to host an anti-gay, anti-trans politician from Florida. And in order to stand up for myself and others, I had to cancel my membership because we have to put our money where our mouths are.
To that, you, Sam. Sam.
You also heard the very loud chanting and demonstrating in the background. The crowd got very big by that time of day. You saw a few people in the morning, hundreds by 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, I watched a lot of, most of the people going in seemed to be Orthodox Jews, from a right-wing group. But I said, you know, after they come from us, don't you think the fascists are coming for you? Are you kidding? Why, you know, people who have been so oppressed within the last, you know,
they already are. That's what Charlottesville was all about.
Right. All right. Well, also from Florida is Nadine Smith. She was at the reception for Time's 100 Most Influential People in the World. And
she's the head of Equality Florida, and she is a very influential person and was named to that list as well she should be.
And here's what she had to say.
Well, first of all, it's a tremendous honor, and I've gotten to meet some real heroes. And I, you know, I recognize it as a personal recognition, but also as recognition of the work that I get to do side by side with my colleagues at Equality Florida. And even more than that, the moment that we're in, where we're seeing this tremendous backlash that is targeting the most vulnerable. And really this is a moment, we're at an inflection point for our country. Are we going to move forward in a world where, you know, we embrace diversity, equity, and inclusion, where we understand that our strength comes from all of these different voices, or are we going to go backwards? And we're seeing so much effort in defining America in the most narrow terms. And we have, unfortunately, a governor who has presidential ambitions, who is lighting these culture war fires instead of dealing with the business of our state. But he is a symptom of this moment. You know, you can be afraid of a future where no single racial group is dominant, or you can say this is the strength of America, that we come from all over, and together we've made this unique place. And when you embrace that, you're not afraid of talking honestly about our past, and you're not afraid of people being authentically who they are. So those are the stakes. And history tells me that we're going to win. The only question is, how much damage will DeSantis and others like him do before we get to that place?
She's terrific. And I was hoping we would hear, did she have a chance to chat with the governor? But I haven't heard anything about that yet at the reception.
No, because he, of course, was on the Time 100 Most Influential People in the World list also.
Oh, so was Putin.
Well, you know, Time has done this for years, and others do it too, where they get away with having these lists like this by just doing it as the most influential, not the best, not the smartest, not the cutest, not...
Oh, Hitler was Man of the Year once, you know, because he was the most powerful person in the world at one time.
Yes.
All right. So all this leads to things like the Pulse Massacre and in Orlando. And, the sixth anniversary was marked this week. It took the lives of 49 people at the mostly Latinx gay club in 2016. Commemorations were held, of course, there, without Governor DeSantis, who was in New York hate-mongering. And in New York, there's one of the human beings from Gays Against Guns holding the picture of one of the victims of the Pulse Massacre. And then they all lined up in this park called Little Island, where we had a great deal of difficulty walking around. But anyway, they held up those pictures. J.W. Walker, their leader, demanded bans on AR-15s, which Republicans refuse. There were also marches for our lives nationwide on Saturday demanding the same thing. And Jay also noted that just as the cops delayed going into Uvalde school for an hour as kids bled out, cops waited for several hours before entering the Pulse back then.
Yes. And of course, there was the cop who wouldn't go into Parkland High School either as the murders were taking place there.
And by the way, The Nation magazine had an article about the 53 survivors of the Pulse who were challenging where all this money is going that they're raising. Is it for the survivors of this massacre, many of whom have horrible medical problems, or is it just going to museums and events and those kinds of things?
And what is the point of a museum if the survivors are in terrible shape?
DeSantis issued a Pulse proclamation saying the state will never tolerate hatred towards the LGBT community of any kind. I don't think he read it.
Unless it's coming from his office. That's his safe space. All right. Well, all of that is tremendously depressing. And where should we go from?
Well, I mean, in terms of other bad news, I mean, in Texas, in North Harris County, two women were found dead in an apparent murder-suicide while their 9-year-old niece was inside the apartment. One had called 911 saying she accidentally shot her girlfriend in the head while fighting over a gun, but detectives believe it was not an accident. As the woman had made statements, she wanted to murder her partner and then kill herself. Sorry for more bad news, but there it is.
All right, I'm ready for some good news. And it comes from Seattle, Washington, where we have been following for several weeks the brilliant, brilliant sit-in by students at Seattle Pacific University, a Christian college of the Free Methodist denomination. The college announced that it was not going to hire anybody who is LGBTQ as faculty, as staff. They're not distinguishing between who's a pastor or who's married or who isn't. They're just blanket ban on anybody LGBTQ being hired. So the
they denied tenure to one of the gay professors, and that led to protests. And the faculty senate gave the board a vote of no confidence for upholding the anti-gay policy.
So the students have been staging a sit-in in shifts for weeks, and now graduation has rolled around. So the students, and I hope you link to the video of this in the show note.
Send me the link.
You can find it. They went up on stage one by one to get their diplomas and handed the president, chancellor, whatever he is, little rainbow flags. Every last one of them. You just see a whole parade of students handing
in exchange for their diplomas.
Yes. He would hand them a diploma. They would hand him a rainbow flag. And many of them wore rainbow symbols on their graduation robes or hats or whatever. It's just a beautiful thing to see. And they're continuing the sit-in. Even though graduation is finished, there will be people continuing to sit in at the university in protest of this policy. They are absolutely committed to fighting this discrimination. It's very inspiring.
Who's going to stop the right-wing Catholic group, Catholic Vote? They are urging parents to hide the pride by going to public libraries and checking out all the LGBTQ-themed books. That's a lot to carry, and there's some in the Bible.
Increase sales, because they're going to have to replace all those books.
So that no children will see them. And by the way, kids, if you can't find a book at the library, go on the internet. There's a lot of information there.
And we also got a nice little boost from Representative Ted Lieu of California in the House of Representatives this week. He was struck by the religious excuses for homophobia and bigotry. So here's what he did on the floor of the U.S. House.
In March of this year, the Washington Post published an article titled, GOP lawmakers push historic wave of bills targeting rights of LGBTQ teens, children, and their families. In April, Washington Post published another article titled, Some Republicans Fear Party Overreach on LGBT Measures. I just thought I would now recite for you what Jesus Christ said about homosexuality. I yield back.
For those of you listening, we did not go off the air, nor did he. He was standing there silently because there is nothing out of the mouth of Jesus Christ in the Bible about homosexuality.
Yeah, don't adjust your TV sets or iPods. It was a lovely little demonstration of what we've been reminding you for years.
We told you last week that Mayor Adams at his LGBT Pride celebration said, you have one of your own as mayor. And so I wrote the press secretary and said, what's up with that? And he said, it's just because he's black and he's an outsider. And he's inside, you know, misleading. But then the four Republican candidates for governor of New York tried to outdo each other in their debate. They were just asked, you know, we teach Asian history, we teach black history. What do you think about teaching LGBTQ history, which is already supposed to be taught in New York? And they just basically called it sex education and you're sexualizing children and we can't do this for five-year-olds. Nothing positive at all coming out of their mouths about...
Completely avoiding the question. They just totally reinterpreted the question. They were not willing to say, yes, we should be teaching LGBTQ history. Instead, they said we should not be sexualizing children and promoting groomers and pedophiles.
And the moderator didn't fix it. And of course, they also want to roll back abortion rights and beef up access to guns. I hope that means that we will not elect somebody like this in New York.
Well, I should hope not. But the award for most gall of the week goes to Virginia Governor Youngkin, who is an overt homophobe, transphobe, ran on a very right-wing, disguised right-wing platform, has been very right-wing in office, and yet he holds a last-minute Pride event reception, secret, not announced, and non-inclusive. He didn't invite, like, the out LGBTQ members of the legislature. He basically invited a few log cabin types and a few others who rejected his invitation. It was all just insane and extremely offensive.
All right.
But good news from Pennsylvania, where the House there has removed homosexuality from the criminal code. Yay! This has to go to the Senate still. We'll see what happens there. And what is the Republican gubernatorial candidate Doug Mastriano think? He's referred to homosexuality as aberrant sexual conduct. And, of course, we have Dr. Oz running for the Senate there, who is anti-trans and pro the Don't Say Gay.
Pro Erdogan.
Yes. Well, that's where he votes, Turkey.
In Georgia, opponents of Georgia House candidate Rashawn Kemp sent out text messages of him kissing his husband and wishing everybody a happy Pride, made to look as if it was from him. He is in a runoff with Representative Bruce for the seat. The Victory Fund condemns the tactic. It's not that he's ashamed of this, but this was not his campaign ad.
Well, I think if you have that stuff out there, you have to expect people will use it. But yes, it was shameful the way they exploited it and recharacterized it. Back in New York City, there was a march through Midtown here and a candlelight vigil for Julio Ramirez. He's the young man who left a bar with three strangers and was found dead in the back of the cab.
After they were gone from it, yes. He was, they've been saying likely drug, but that's not what the toxicology report has found so far, so they're doing another one. His cell phone was missing. His bank account was emptied. So there was this big community march right through the center of town in Times Square, starting at the Ritz Gay Bar right there on West 49th Street, where he was last seen.
And we have also heard about another murder of a transgender woman in Albany, New York. Chanelika Yella Dior Hemingway, 30 years old, murdered at home in Albany.
Okay.
About all we know.
All right. Let's sort out what happened in Texas this week. So three families of trans children are suing the state over Governor Abbott's directive opening child abuse investigations into parents allowing their children under 18 to seek gender-affirming care. One said that their son attempted to take his own life due to the political atmosphere created by Abbott. So PFLAG, ACLU, and Lambda Legal are involved in that suit.
But they got a temporary restraining order against these investigations of the family. So that's great news. And it's not the first time a court has issued a temporary restraining order in specific cases. But, you know.
And that's from a state district court judge in this case.
Yeah. So we're building a legal bulwark here against these kinds of laws. It's slow but heartening that we're winning some of these cases. A North Carolina court says that transgender state employees are entitled to health care under North Carolina rules. They cannot be excluded when other state employees are given that kind of health care.
Should we go to the White House?
Sure.
Well,
we should probably, move this along. We got a
President
lot of
Biden did a big executive order covering a lot of issues on LGBTQ rights, also banning conversion therapy, telling a lot of departments that you've got to make it safer for medical care and support at schools for trans youth. And he renewed his call for the Equality Act, but Senator Schumer won't bring it up for a vote, as promised.
Issued an order for non-discrimination in foster care. The conversion therapy is no federal money for conversion therapy. And he also reinstated the White House Pride reception taking place today as we are taping. And then Vice President Kamala Harris showed up at the Capitol Pride event and gave a very strong speech against LGBTQ laws.
And said, don't stay away from Pride celebrations because of white supremacists. Okay for you. You've got the Secret Service.
Exactly. Brittany Griner does not have the Secret Service in Russia. She's still being held, and her detention was just extended another 18 days by the Russians. The State Department met with her teammates, the Phoenix Mercury, and told them to speak up. Don't be quiet about this. Speak out. So keep Brittany Griner in the news to put pressure on Russia.
So the Williams Institute analyzed government health data and estimated that 1.6 million people in the U.S. are transgender, 43% of them young adults or teens. And, you know, that makes a doubling of those identifying as transgender in the 13 to 25 age group since the data started to be compiled in 2017. The CDC survey does not ask young people about non-binary or other gender identities. But, you know, there was a Washington Post poll. There is a backlash, I mean, to trans girls in sports. We're not doing well on the polling there. Obviously, it's being exploited by the right wing and amped up. You know, people say, oh, we're sympathetic to trans people, but we don't want them playing sports. They're even more against it in pro sports and in college sports than they are in high school.
Well, this is a vast misunderstanding that trans athletes have some superior powers and are going to wipe out everyone else. And that's just not true. And trans athletes are, on average, no more successful in sports than cisgender competitors. And we need to keep educating people on that.
We do. We do. And prison data is in from the Sentencing Project. 124,200 people identify as LGBT in U.S. prisons and jails, and 6,000 as trans women and girls drive the higher representation, as do people of color. So the project wants all kinds of things: repeal of laws that criminalize LGBTQ people, limit the use of solitary, access to gender-affirming care and correctional facilities, et cetera, et cetera. We will link to this report from the Sentencing Project.
And as we complain about the very conservative Jewish conference that booked DeSantis, the law committee of the official organization of conservative Jews has approved gender-neutral language for non-binary people in their practices and documents. So that's very good. And shout out to the Human Rights Campaign, which has amended its best places to work evaluations. They're still going to look at situations for employees, but they're going to start looking at companies' donations to right-wing politicians and incorporate that into their evaluations of corporations. And
let's give them some more good news. New York's largest pride flag was unveiled. Well, it's really a giant staircase in the Four Freedoms State Park there on Roosevelt Island, named for Franklin Roosevelt. The Four Freedoms are freedom from want, freedom of speech and expression, freedom of worship, freedom from fear. It's to celebrate the opening. Ballet Hispanico is going to, there we have a picture of them, are going to teach a class, Free to Be You, at the Children's Festival on June 18th. You won't find that in Florida.
And congratulations to activists in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, not a progressive area. But they call themselves Gay Ridge, and they held their first Pride event all day in the park. About 1,000 people showed up.
And in Aurora, Illinois, they revoked a permit for the Pride Parade because the organizers didn't secure enough law enforcement. They didn't secure enough law enforcement. Well,
the cops wouldn't show up because the Pride organizers said, you can join us, but please not in your uniforms and not with guns. And the cops said, F you, we're not showing up. And the city said, well, you can't hold a parade without cops there.
This is First Amendment expression. They considered it a private event. It's ridiculous. Aurora Pride also required, to march. but the mayor and a Republican candidate for governor pulled out. Aurora Pride went to court, and then the city offered triple time to the cops. I'm not sure who's paying for that.
The Pride marchers.
Well.
All right.
It better not be. How about some history?
Well, of course it is. It's the citizens of Aurora who are paying triple time to the cops. Who do you think's paying?
But not the event itself, I hope.
Well, they're there. All right. In Hillsboro, North Carolina, a court will vacate the 1947 convictions of four freedom riders, including Bayard Rustin.
He's the black man in the center in the back.
And he and others were assigned to 30 days on a chain gang at hard labor in the late 40s. Nice to see them finally vacating that conviction.
And Bayard wrote about being on the chain gang, and it helped reform that whole process back in the late 40s.
New York City will put a statue of Lorraine Hansberry in Times Square.
It was unveiled there. It's going to be moving around New York, and then it's going to move around the country. It's called Sit a While. And that's, I believe, her niece, who was sitting there with the statue. It goes to Brooklyn Bridge Park June 23rd and 29th, before moving to other cities around the country. Lorraine Hansberry, lesbian, died at 34, raised in the sun, a great hero. And the New York Academy of Medicine is disavowing its 1964 report on homosexuality, the problem of homosexuality.
Oh, boy. Live long enough, you'll see all of this. The New York Historical Society has a little installation in honor of Edie Windsor, defeater of DOMA. It has that picture, but it has that suit and scarf on a mannequin there, and it has in notebooks all the briefs, all the amicus briefs and regular briefs from the DOMA trial at the Supreme Court, and there was a nice little ceremony for the installation of that.
And if you go there on June 21st, I'll be making a rare personal appearance in public for a panel on the Children of the Rainbow controversy in New York in the early 90s. It's a great panel, and check it out. I'll give you the link online.
All right. We have some people to mourn this week. First, three trans activists, great heroines in Chicago, died in the last week or two. First, most prominently, Mama Gloria Allen. That's the poster from a documentary about her life. 76 years old. She was famous for starting a charm school for trans youth. She died peacefully in her sleep at an LGBT-friendly senior residence, much missed.
And also in Chicago, trans leader Jane Latrobe, 81.
June Latrobe.
June, apologize. Yeah. I apologize, June. She was part of Illinois Gender Advocates, the Center on Halsted, which Mama Gloria was also part of, a Lakeview Action Coalition, did not transition until 2005, but had ties to the trans community for decades.
And Maritza Vidal, 65 years old, another trans woman who ran the Hispanic AIDS Center in Chicago, another local hero there.
She's died at the age of 65, was known as the mayor of Division Street. There was also sorrow in Detroit this week. The city's oldest gay bar, Woodward Cocktail Bar, was destroyed by a fire that started at 11 a.m. 23 people evacuated from there on the bank next door. It was opened in 1951, the cause not identified.
And we're very sad to learn of the death of Hunter Reynolds, 62, way too early. Very prominent painter, artist. He had HIV, he'd had strokes, he'd had cancer. He was one of the founders of the Art Positive group out of ACT UP, and very famous for works like this. That is him in his alter ego, Patina Dupre, in the memorial dress. There are 25,000 names of people who died of HIV and AIDS, silk screened onto that dress And this is superimposed on stories, newspaper stories about HIV and AIDS, and of course, pills there on the right. This is called Medication Reminder. He was such a good guy and very sad to lose him, but he'd been in terrible shape for months with all his afflictions, but a really important artist and another one lost to AIDS, cancer, everything else.
A memorial service at a date to be announced, and we will keep you advised of that.
All right.
International news?
Yes.
The United Arab Emirates have banned the upcoming Pixar film Lightyear over reports that it includes a kiss between two females.
Well, it does. It includes a kiss between, it's an animated film. It includes a kiss between two young women. Disney refused to, actually, I think they originally removed the kiss and then put it back, but it's now been banned in a dozen countries, including Indonesia, Malaysia, Egypt, Lebanon.
So if they kiss, it's banned. If they shot each other to death, it would be okay.
That'd be fine. And the Saudi Arabians are also confiscating anti-Islamic rainbow-colored toys and clothes.
In a little Swiss town that has a tradition of burning a negative figure in effigy as a rite of spring, in the past, you know, Kim Jong-un, Muammar Gaddafi, this year, they burned a trans figure and called it Diversity Bug. So much for mild-mannered, neutral Swiss people. One 82-year-old resident called the ceremony inhuman and discriminatory. And, you know, they acted like this was, you know, a protest against wokeism or something. But such violent displays are not funny.
And lest you think all the attacks on Pride are in the United States this year, no. In Germany, 30 men violently attacked a Pride event. They beat people up. They burned a rainbow flag. The cops stood by and did very little.
The emergency services also exhibited homophobia. In the United Kingdom, the European Court of Human Rights shut down Boris Johnson's first attempt to ship out a plane of asylum seekers to be processed in Rwanda. This was a particular concern to people concerned about LGBTQ asylum seekers.
And in Peru, the Constitutional Court will not recognize same-sex marriages performed outside of Peru, even though the Inter-American Court of Human Rights ruled several years ago that all Central and South American countries must legalize same-sex marriage. The Constitutional Court said, no, you have to change the Constitution first. We are not subject to the Inter-American Court of Human Rights, but of course they are. And so this will continue to be litigated in Peru.
AIDS news.
Well, let's start with monkeypox news from the UK, where they have now reported 470 cases, 99% of them among men who have sex with men in London. And they think this is the result of a couple of major events, parties, and it's getting more real every day.
And in saunas where it's very easy to transmit when you're sitting in place that someone has been sitting, and if they have these lesions, they can be transmitted. So people are going to have to slow down until we get this under control.
And I was on a call last night where they were talking about cases in New York, just a few, but, you know, warning people you can get it from touching people's clothes as well as their skin and bed clothes. So be aware of who's got lesions. And if you have some kind of abnormal lesions, go get it checked out. There is treatment.
In San Francisco, the AIDS quilt was displayed for its 35th anniversary in Golden Gate Park. More than 3,000 panels were displayed, which it consists actually of 50,000 total. Quilt co-founders were on hand, including Cleve Jones. In Missouri, you probably read this story, but the Washington Post did not cover this properly. A woman got HPV, an STI, a sexually transmitted infection, after what she said was sex in a car with a guy she was dating. And she filed a claim, with the car insurance company, and Geico said, we'll put this to arbitration, and they lost. But the thing is, they do have to pay up. And look.
For what?
Don't think this is going to make it easy to sue somebody because you had sex in a house. You're going to sue under their apartment insurance or in a car with their car insurance. Don't think that, which is what everybody thinks. Geico just totally screwed up the case. They didn't pay serious attention to it with their lawyers, and they lost the case.
There's absolutely no logic to that at all.
Well, when you go to arbitration, a deal is a deal.
Wow.
And they just didn't send serious representation at the arbitration panel. That's what happened.
All right. Well, let's move on to serious representation at the Tony Awards.
Couldn't have been more LGBTQ. It was hosted by Ariana DeBose, out by Spy.
I thought she did great. I saw mixed comments online, but I thought she was terrific.
And she celebrated the diversity of the Broadway season. The top award, which is the best musical, went to the gay, A Strange Loop, which Michael R. Jackson, its creator, won for best book of a musical. And we will link to his performance of The Memory Song in our email.
I would call it the all gay musical, although unfortunately I'd knocked myself out with an antihistamine and slept through a great deal of it.
Well, my grandniece and nephew from Arkansas saw it, not knowing anything about it, and they loved it this week. The Gay Men's Chorus of New York performed MAME in honor of the Lifetime Achievement Award for Angela Lansbury. It was on the pre-show on streaming, so we will link to that in our email.
And congratulations to Jim Nicola of New York Theater Workshop, who also was awarded with a special Tony.
That's right. And I was thrilled that out gay Simon Russell Beale won Best Actor in a Play for the Lehman Trilogy. He was up against stiff competition, including from two of his castmates, but he finally won a Tony.
And he was very gracious in his acceptance speech.
He was.
And then Company, which has definitely gotten mixed reviews, but the...
Mixed reviews, it won Best Revival of a Musical.
Yes, and some people didn't enjoy it.
Okay.
But Matt Doyle, gay actor, won for Best Featured Actor in a Musical.
He does that patter song about not wanting to get married. I think a lot of this is because it was by Stephen Sondheim. And you can't forget gay icon Patti LuPone, who won for Best Supporting Actress in a Musical for that show. And I think that at least, that certainly was deserved.
Absolutely. And they did do a Stephen Sondheim tribute, which certainly could have been more extensive. I thought that was a little...
Bernadette Peters sang.
Yeah, that was nice. But, you know, you could do 2 hours just on Stephen Sondheim. It was
go to the internet. There are about 100 Stephen Sondheim tributes now.
I saw some of them, but it just felt like the Tonys could have spent a little more time.
And Take Me Out, the gay-themed baseball play, won, you know, for Best Revival of a Play, and out Jesse Tyler Ferguson for Best Supporting Actor in a Play. I mean, you know him from, what's the name of that show?
How I Met My Mother.
Modern Family?
Modern Family. That's it. See, I don't watch either one of them.
No,
I don't. Modern either. Family, yes. Also, not in the LGBTQ category, but I was very, very happy to see Deirdre O'Connell win for Best Actress in a Play for Dana H. That was a great surprise and a huge, huge victory.
It was a Lucas Nauth play about his mother, and she lip-synced to recordings of her mother talking about this unbelievable story. And she was just...
Not her mother, his mother.
His mother, I'm sorry. Yeah. His mother. And, she was just terrific. And in the In Memoriam section, where they show you who died in the last year, that was led by Billy Porter singing On the Street Where You Live. From My Fair Lady, and it was quite moving.
Yeah, he's always great, and he looked great, and he sounded great. All right. And then in other entertainment news, the big scandal of the week was an Australian newspaper outing supposedly their native daughter, Rebel Wilson, about
Come on, it was reporting. A reporter asked her about this, and she
said, supposedly, I support what the newspaper did, and here's why. Because Rebel Wilson has been posting pictures with this woman, Ramona Agruma, for months.
And anyway, she said she's been searching for a Disney prince, and she found her Disney princess. They met through a mutual friend.
All right, I'm going to read the actual quote. I thought I was searching for a Disney prince, but maybe what I really needed all this time was a Disney princess. She was very gracious about how she handled it. She put that out before the newspaper managed to publish the news. Everyone's up in arms against the newspaper. I think they did nothing wrong, and I think all they did was follow her lead because she had been posting pictures with Ramona.
Whoopi Goldberg, high dudgeon about it.
Ramona is a fashion and jewelry designer. The reporter apologized. I don't think he had anything to apologize.
He's a gay guy. Yeah. All right. So we're getting our first look, at least through photographs, at the gay-themed movie My Policeman, due in theaters not till October and streaming on Amazon in November. But it's based on a 2012 novel by Betham Roberts, and it's produced by Greg Berlanti, and a script by Ron Nicewander, who did Philadelphia. It stars there, Harry Styles, there on the right, navigating a love triangle with Emma Corbin and David Dawson there in the 1950s. And then they are all played 40 years later by Linus Roach, Gina McKee, and Rupert Everett. The director is Michael Grandage.
Yeah, it takes place in 1957. And Robbie Rogers, the soccer star who is the husband or boyfriend of Greg Berlanti, is also a producer on this. It could be interesting. Emma Corrin, of course, is the one from The Crown also.
And she identifies now as non-binary, I believe. Yes?
Then it would be they.
They. Well, I forget. Depending on what they say their pronouns are.
I had only a moment last week to recommend a Sexplanation, which is available everywhere on streaming, on video, on demand. But I really want to emphasize this documentary by Alex Liu, where he explores sex education through his own personal experiences. He even ends up getting in an MRI machine to masturbate as part of a study. But he talks to a lot of different people, and it's a really, really interesting and entertaining documentary, much more so than the standard variety, as you can tell by the anecdote I just told. He talks to a priest, he talks to parents, he talks to sex educators, he goes all over the place and really puts himself in it. And A Sexplanation, I highly recommend that.
So Billy Eichner and a whole host of others have a Netflix comedy special. He takes on Dave Chappelle, as do others. It's called Standout, an LGBTQ celebration. It's touted as the largest ever gathering of LGBTQ plus comics. And so Billy said, come at me. I don't have Jamie Foxx to defend me, but I do have Rosie O'Donnell and the entire Gay Men's Chorus. But it also includes, is that Tig Notaro?
Tig Notaro, Margaret Cho, Wanda Sykes, Eddie Izzard, Bob the Drag Queen, Joel Kim Booster from the Fire Island movie, Sandra Bernhardt.
Mae Martin also. So that's and so they're all going to be there. And we have 4 minutes to kill.
Oh,
so
we have several other things. You and I saw a theatrical version of B-Boy Blues last week. And I said I wasn't going to talk about it because I thought it was a little thin. But I then saw the movie version, which was made by Jesse Smollett, directed by him. The movie version is more compelling than the...
Where can we see the movie version?
on BET Plus and on Amazon Prime. And it comes off as sort of a rom-com. This is from the book by James Earl Hardy. So you might want to look for B-Boy Blues streaming online. We also want to congratulate Anjanue Ellis, who was nominated for an Oscar for playing the Tennessee Williams sister's mother, Oracine, in King Richard. She has announced that she's come out as bi. She says that she's been out to family and friends for years, and everything was fine. But then when she just announced it, they got upset and said, why'd you have to announce it? Why can't you hide it? Families are strange. She announced this at the Essence Black Women in Hollywood Awards in March. And what? Oh, show that picture again. What happened? No. Yes. What you may or may not be able to see on her arm is that she has queer written down the side of her arm. That was in March. And she said no one really noticed it. And some people thought it said queen. And so she felt a need now to come out and officially announce that she's bi so that people would finally pay attention.
I just made the image full screen and I can read it now.
Okay, good. And we also congratulate Amy Schneider, the Trans Jeopardy champion. There she is, looking adorable in that little rainbow tutu, trans colors tutu, throwing out the first pitch at the Pride event of the San Francisco Giants playing against the LA Dodgers that day. I think she just looks terrific there. Very adorable. But Fox Sports was carrying the baseball game, and instead of showing her throwing out the first pitch, they subbed her out and put in a first pitch done some weeks before by NASCAR driver Kurt Busch. They said it was to promote their upcoming broadcast of a NASCAR game. But I don't think they had to get rid of Amy Schneider to promote.
Well, Fox News got rid of coverage of the January 6th insurrection hearings because they want to promote fascism. And
then they're being consistent. But congratulations to Amy, and congratulations to lesbian blogger Sue Kerr of Pittsburgh, who is throwing out the first pitch at a Pittsburgh Pirates game. And we also just want to remind you that coming up in a couple of weeks, Friday, June 24th here in New York, the Drag March, Saturday the 25th, the Dyke March, 5 p.m. Bryant Park, and Sunday the 26th, the regular Pride Parade and the Queer Liberation March, stepping off at 2 p.m. from Foley Square.
I told former Mayor de Blasio in the March for Our Lives about the Queer Liberation March, and he'd never heard of it. I said, it started under you.
People are idiots. No, it's a great reminder of how little people do pay attention to us and what a little bubble we live in. And let's expand the bubble.
I'm usually tired during Pride Month. There's so much to do, but I'm wrung out after this week and all we've had to protest and absorb this week.
So we will ponder that, take a nap, and see you next week.